Well, good morning and God bless you. I want to share with you a little bit about Memorial Day, which is tomorrow. The last Monday in May has been set aside as a federal holiday to honor those who have died while in the service of our nation's armed forces. It's not to be confused with Veterans Day, which is on November 11th each year, to honor all those who serve or have served in the military, both living and dead. Memorial Day is strictly for those who have died during their service in our armed forces. The observance of Memorial Day originated as Decoration Day when the Grand Army of the Republic, an organization of Union veterans, established it as a time to decorate the Union Army war dead or their grave sites with flowers. Then by the 20th century, competing Union and Confederate holiday traditions, they got together to at which they had celebrated on different days, decided that they were going to merge and do it as one time and extend it to honor all Americans who died while in military service. So not, it was originally set for the Civil War and the Union and the Confederate soldiers, and it was for those who had died in the Civil War, and then it was expanded to all wars in the 20th century, 1900s. The first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and there were about 5,000 participants. They decorated over 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers' graves that were buried at Arlington Cemetery. Then in 1915, inspired by the poem In Flanders Fields, Moina Michael, an American teacher, penned her own poem with the lines, "We cherish too the poppy red that grows on field where valor led. It seems to signal to the skies that blood of heroes never dies." And that's where the poppy, the red poppy flower, became involved with Memorial Day, and you also see it on Veterans Day. They've extended it to that. And from that poem and her campaign to make the poppy the flower in remembrance of those who died, it actually became an international thing where internationally it's known for remembrance of those who have died for their countries. So, pretty interesting. She conceived the idea of wearing a red poppy on Memorial Day, and it has become an international symbol of remembrance for those who gave their lives for their country. In December of 2000, the National Monument of Remembrance resolution was passed, which asked that at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day, that people would voluntarily and informally observe a moment of silence or listen to the blowing of taps, which I don't think that's very well known in our country, but that was the resolution that they made in 2000, that we take a moment of silence at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day for that particular observance. Then in 1862, General Daniel Butterfield, with the help of bugler Oliver Wilcox Norton, wrote Taps to honor his men while encamped at Harrison's Landing, Virginia. It was first used as a call for the extinguishing of lights. As a matter of fact, it really became a great part of West Point for the cadets at the end of the evening. When they were to extinguish lights, they would blow taps. First, it was just announced, you know, lights out kind of thing. But then to signify that, rather than just somebody going through and yelling lights out, you'd hear the blowing of taps by the bugle as one of the many different signals the buglers were to do. And that was an awareness and an alert to extinguish all fires, and we're bedding down for the night. It was on a July evening in 1862, and it soon spread to other units of the Union, and then was adopted by the Confederate armies, and they would blow taps at that particular time to close out the evening. And then after the war, the simple 24-note tune was made an official bugle call. So just some history on it. And I wanted to share some things with you, not in comparison, but more in reflection. Because in the Bible, there are thousands and thousands of men who died in service to God and their country or their tribe. And none of them are without significance. For God so loved the world, and he still does. There were battles where the children of Israel lost not even one man. But there were other battles where they lost many men. I don't really understand the meaning of it, why in some they did, some they didn't. But in each case, the point is not one name is forgotten by God. Not one soul in God's thoughts and remembrance is lost. He remembers them all, every single one. And none of them will ever be forgotten. There are tens of thousands who God's word notes as mighty men of valor, men of great courage and distinction in the sight of God and their kings. I'd like you to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 7. There can be many in every generation mighty men of valor, whom God speaks of as mighty men of valor. And perhaps the way we distinguish someone as a mighty man of valor or award medals of honor perhaps may be different than God's thoughts in regard to it, because in God's thinking and in God's heart, the response of men to his will, the response of the compassion and heart of men and the loyalty that they have denote significance to him. In 1 Chronicles chapter 7, it says, "Now the sons of Issachar were Tola and Puah, Jashub and Shimron, four. And the sons of Tola, Uzzi and Rephaiah and Jeriel and Jemaiah, Jibsam, Shemuel, heads of their father's house, to wit of Tola, they were valiant men of might in their generations, whose number was in the days of David 220,600. 220, that's how many God saw were mighty men of valor. And they were mighty men of valor in their generation. And there can be mighty men and women of valor in every generation. And there are to be. That there be no extinguishing of light. Men of great courage and distinction. Let's go to Judges chapter 6. I want to read you this record. And again, it's not in comparison to the men of today, but rather in reflection of men and women today. Not just in the military, but in every walk of life, for men and women who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. In Judges chapter 6, they were going through a very difficult time. The children of Israel, the Midianites, had been on attack. They had destroyed all of their food sources. It was an extremely difficult time for them. And in, it says in verse 11 of chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah." This was before she had her show. I'm only kidding. "That pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites," because they just destroyed everything. And in order for them to survive, they had to do it at night. They had to do it and hide it so that not only could they feed themselves, I'm sure they took care of friends and family and other people. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of power." Gideon hadn't even done anything yet. As a matter of fact, what he did was in the nighttime, he would go to the wine press and they would prepare food and hide it from the Midianites. He hadn't really even done anything. But you know what God said? Told this angel to tell him, "Thou mighty man of valor. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Isn't that very, very human-like? God, if you're with me, what in the world? Why is this befalling us? Why are these things happening to us? "And where be his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Does God forsake us?
No.
Will God ever turn us into the hand of our enemies?
No.
But that's the best that Gideon understood. That's as far as they had gone. Do you think God was mad at him for that?
No.
There's a lot of things in life we don't understand, perhaps. Especially when we don't understand that there is an evil spirit realm. And enemies of God, enemies of mankind. And certainly enemies of the children of God, but enemies of mankind, period. Who seeks evil against us. These wonderful men, like Gideon, did not know that. He saw the Midianites, and the Midianites are people. So to the best of his understanding, it seemed that way. And yet, God still refers to him as a mighty man of valor. It's because of what is in the heart of a man or a woman. Or what was in the heart of that man or woman in the case of those who have died. But the greatness is not in dying for what we believe, but in living for what we believe. I always think of General George Patton. He said, in serving our country, it's not dying for our country, it's making the other poor, miserable bastard die for his. that's George Patton. And that's his understanding. But it's true that Our witness is to be live witnesses, not dead witnesses, as I shared a little bit last week. Well, verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, you know, why has all this happened? Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent, what?
Thee.
Well, we are also sent ones. Let's go to the 60th Psalm. Psalm 60. There is a need for mighty men of valor in every generation, whether we are against a physical enemy or a spiritual enemy. It takes men and women to be mighty men of valor, that the light be not extinguished. In Psalm 60, let's go to verse 11. It says, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And that he has. And he has given us power and authority over all our enemies. He has done it. And we should have mighty men and women of valor to take those promises, to utilize that power, and to stand and boldly speak with all authority the truth of God's word. Whether in wars or in other spiritual conflicts, there are men and women whose dedicated service and loyalty to God and the great movement of his word give their lives without reservation for a cause that stretches beyond themselves and has reached unto us and to our children. It goes from generation to generation to generation. I'd like you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, because as Jesus prayed on the night he was taken, this truth still abounds today. And there are mighty men and women who hear that word and are beneficiaries of that prayer. In John chapter 17, and we'll start in verse 9. This is on the night he was taken. Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Through our God we will do mighty, valiant things. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. He has, he did, and we have the power and authority. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Oh, I skipped over here. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctified means to be set apart for a holy and special purpose. Ours is to keep the truth, to bring light and not allow light to be extinguished. That takes men and women of valor and might. And he has answered that by giving us the power and the authority. Now we just need to act valiantly upon that word. Then it says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through their word. Peter stood and spoke. John stood and spoke. Paul stood and spoke. And through their word, we have heard it. Because they were mighty men of valor. And because of their words, we are here today where we are. And our children will be tomorrow where the word that they receive from us will take them. Let us direct their steps in the light of God's wonderful, matchless word, with all of its power and all of its glory. For the solution to every problem is in the word of God. And the strength of Christ is in every word in the word of God. And the joy that he joyed with is in the word of God. Let our children enjoy that blessing. Let us keep in remembrance all those, both frail and strong, who have brought the message of Christ. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let us pray the long line of those valiant for the truth continues. You know, the motto for BGM, for Beloved of God Ministries, is the Latin sumo commisso missi, upon the highest order sent, not because we sent ourselves, but because he has sent us to keep it until we no longer hear taps for the extinguishing of the light. And he has a wreath to lay and a decoration that will lay upon the living to honor with a crown everlasting. Bless your hearts.